golf exercise expert and fitness trainer, Mike Peterson.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thank you for coming back for another episode of Golf Smarter. Last program, I asked you to send me your thoughts on whether or not we're on the right track of doing more advice and drills on each show than course tours. And I received an email this morning from Rich Chopyak, who regularly shoots 100 each round and says that he likes it when pros teach on the show and how much he's improved now that he plays golf smarter. There's no need to read the note, but I did want to share this part of his letter about his playing experience this past weekend with his 11-year-old son. Rich writes, quote, "It was the most enjoyable round ever. I shot 90. And if not for the very first hole when I got hung up in the fairway bunker, I'd have been in the 80s. That's something I never thought I'd be able to do." End quote. Rich, thanks for sharing. And everyone on the Golf Smarter team, we tip our hat and say congratulations. Now, although we talk about the mental side of the game on a regular basis, we're not going to abandon the physical side. Today's guest is a golf fitness trainer and golf exercise expert. Now, if you're over 35 and play regularly without stretching, shame on you. If you really want to enjoy golf for the rest of your life, then scoring will be secondary to being pain-free after your round. Mike Peterson has had a lot of exposure in the press as well as producing manuals and DVDs about staying in great physical condition to play your very best. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Fred.
It's great to have you on today.
I appreciate you having me on.
Well, you know, I think fitness is a huge part of golf that is overlooked.
Yes, it absolutely is. But I think, it's becoming mainstream now. Thank you to Tiger Woods, Annika Thorenstam, and even some of the guys on the senior tour. Larry Nelson was one of the first guys, 5 or 6 years ago in his game, dramatically improved. So, the awareness, and you can't turn on really any professional tournament on TV now without the commentators within probably 5 minutes talking about somebody's conditioning program. So it's definitely mainstream as far as awareness. Now the key is just to convince more, everyday golfers how important it is.
Yeah, it's really true. How can we get that message out that it's not only better for you on the course to at least stretch or have a regular fitness program, but to stretch before you get out there, but it's also going to improve your round, isn't it?
Dramatically. I've written dozens of articles all over the web and in magazines regarding, pre-golf warm-ups, pre-round warm-ups, and, the infamous, run to the course, hack a couple of driver swings, and then go to the first hole and triple bogey the hole. So, it's interesting when you try to, what I try to do is I try to educate golfers, and the first thing I try to convince them, and some of them chuckle and they try to get comical with me, but I say, you are a golf athlete. The golf swing is a very athletic movement. It's traumatizing to the body, to say the least. Swinging a club at upwards of 100 miles an hour while staying in golf posture, without swaying, without coming up and down and around, and it's one of the more difficult athletic movements in all athletics. To be honest with you, to swing a 3.5-4 foot implement at 100 miles an hour in a certain dynamic position, so that takes a super high level of strength, flexibility, coordination, stabilization, I can go on and on about that. But so, I think once you start educating the golfer on the physical side of golf, they start waking up a little bit. Again, there's still a disconnect with probably 90% of the amateur golfers out there between agreeing and saying, I think you're probably right, and actually doing something about it.
Yeah. And what about even while you're on the course? I mean, you shouldn't just, stretch a little bit before you hit your bucket of balls and then that's the end of it for the day, right?
Well, yeah, just because, the human body is such that it goes through a warm-up state, and when you warm up, that's when you're at your athletic best, obviously, and that's for all sports, really. And then fatigue sets in, and dehydration, even hunger. I can't tell you that hundreds of golfers that I get paired with that I've met on the course, that eat nothing, and they take a look at me, and I've got my fridge in my golf bag, and I'm eating the whole time there, and I never hit, quote unquote, hit the wall. So it's you know, it's one of those things where once the body starts shutting down from a fatigue standpoint, from a fuel standpoint, that's when you see the decline in performance. And, you know, one way, well, there's several ways, but, you know, one is obviously fueling your body with fruits and you know, even a nutrition bar during the round. And then secondly, as you start noticing your swing tightening up, doing some golf-specific swing stretches on the golf course, and that can typically prevent, you know, the collapse of your round, and it'll get you through the rest of the round.
Excellent point. And I'm going to just drive it into you to give us some tips before you leave today.
Sure.
But we did an interview recently with Jim DeLobby, and he had this theory called sip and nibble, which I've started to use on the course. And he has this idea of, to keep your level of focus going, that instead of eating a large meal before or a large meal at the turn, is you should just take little bites almost for every shot.
That's right.
Tell me your advice on how to stay at peak level with food.
Well, and that's what I mentioned with my, quote, mini fridge in my golf bag is, you know, I bring almost the same thing every single time. And again, you know, I don't want to spend, you know, all the time talking about myself, because this is all about the listener and really trying to bring benefit to the listener and their game. But the big thing is spreading out your nutrition. And this is what people should do in their everyday diet to keep their metabolic rate up, burning fat, giving themselves energy, keeping their muscle, lean muscle built up. On the course, it's the same thing, but it's kind of a micro version of it, which is, you know, if you can keep your blood sugar level stable by like you said, nibbling on some fruit, on some mixed nuts, you know, that's a big thing a lot of healthy golfers eat, is, you know, kind of those, that with the mixed trail, I guess, whatever they do with, you know, it's got some raisins in it, it's got some nuts in it and things like that, which is protein and some carbohydrates. So that's really a nice blend for nutrition, is having a little bit of carbohydrate, a little bit of protein, but not the big sandwich at the turn. Not, you know, not a beer or two at the turn, of course, but you know, having something that's just little hand food that you can just kind of reach in a bag and throw in your mouth and take a couple of bites and you're done for, you know, for that time being. And then you take a couple of swings and you go back in and you grab a couple more bites, and you that's the kind of that nibbling approach throughout the round of golf. And that's why when I play, I get people always kind of cracking on me and just saying, you know, wow, you know, you're eating all the time. I said, well, you know, I got a lot of lean muscle in my body, and lean muscle tissue is active and it needs fuel. And when you don't put fuel into a lean body or lean muscle mass, that lean muscle mass starves itself. And when it starves itself, that's when the body starts shutting down.
Awesome. Give us some.
And then it links to the mind as well.
What are your favorite foods for this?
Well, I eat tons of nutrition bars, and the nutrition bars I eat are lower in sugar. Of course, so that that doesn't mess with your blood sugar levels. Higher in protein, just because anybody who has a higher level of lean muscle mass needs, that's a higher level of protein requirement they need in their body as well to maintain that lean muscle mass. So I tend to buy a little bit higher level protein and kind of a moderate to low carbohydrate base, because again, carbohydrates for some people, for sure, you know, you can get weight, you know, a lot of people have weight problems with eating too many carbohydrates. Now again, when you're on the course, that's a different story, because hopefully you're walking and carrying a bag and burning lots of calories, so you would need that carbohydrate, because carbohydrates is that immediate energy source. Protein takes a little bit more work to digest by the kidneys and by the body. So really, for some people, it might be sort of a 50-50 carbohydrate protein. For me personally, I tend to just lean a little bit more to the protein side of it, and of course have a little bit of carbs. I'll have some, you know, some low salt pretzels. I'll have, you know, some nuts. I'll eat low salt peanuts, things like that as well.
Great. What come on, I don't care if we plug it. What nutrition bar do you like?
You know,
come on.
Well, they should be paying me, because a lot of people see me eat these things. But I eat one called Pure Protein, and I eat it sort of because, you know, it's definitely a very, very, very high protein bar, low sugar protein bar, and it actually is one of the bars that that tastes decent. I get the, I don't know what's called, chocolate, actually, I think is what it's called, and I love chocolate anyways, although I don't eat much of it, but it's called Pure Protein. But, you know, if that bar isn't available in the store for the golfers listening, you know, you know, if they, you know, a balance bar, any bar that really has a nice balance, the big thing you want to watch out for is high sugar. And that's when, you know, if you look at a bar in the back and you look at the contents and say the bar says, you know, 18 grams of sugar, 20 grams of sugar, that's too much sugar. I think the bar I eat, don't quote me, but, you know, 6 grams, 8 grams maybe of sugar. It might even be less than that. But you want to watch the sugar intake, you know, because pretty soon it's almost like you're eating candy, which you don't want to do on the golf course.
Okay. That's fair. I like that. You have a lot of stuff on your website, which is performbettergolf.com. I'm curious, why did you select golf as your method of physical training?
Boy, well, that's a great question. You know, I'm an obsessive compulsive, and I was fortunate enough to take my own athletic career almost to the Olympic Games in decathlon.
Congratulations.
Well, yeah. Long time ago.
But I don't care. I took mine to the TV for the Olympics, you know.
Yeah,
I mean.
Right. But so I'm a very, very serious athlete, and, you know, now I'm 42 years old, so obviously I'm an ex-athlete. I'm in that category, I hate to admit. But, you know, just about when I graduated college and just was winding down my kind of post-college track and field career, I think I turned about, oh, gosh, I must have been 27 or 28. I picked up a club. I'd never really played golf. I'd hacked it around a little bit, and, you know, I could bomb a drive here or there. But all of a sudden, I picked one up, and I had some time. I picked the club up, and I just got obsessed with it. I mean, just...
Gee, I wonder how that can happen.
Yeah, I think the listeners can relate to that one.
Well, I sure can.
But I can tell you right now, I got really obsessed with it. You know, I was personal training at the time, which is what I've done for 24 years of my life, a certified personal trainer, and I was training privately in people's homes. I had built up a business to where it was pretty well known in my area, and I'd been self-employed for many years. And I had, and I'm not kidding, Fred, I had no less than 7 or 8 golf instruction books in my back seat of my car. I'm not kidding. A couple of training aids. Of course, a club and a putter in my car at all times. And I'm telling you, you know, at any point where I'd show up at a client's house, you know, 5 minutes early or something, the book was out, and I was studying, you know, swing technique. You know, I had the training aid in my hand. You know, if I could, you know, go to a course, I'd grab the putter and run out and putt for 5 or 10. I mean, we're talking way obsessive compulsive here, but that kind of started the rampage of me really learning the golf swing. And Fred, if I were reborn again right this minute, I would be, no question about it, I would be a golf instructor and still do the fitness for golf like I do now. But if somebody came to me, I would cover total golf performance, and that's a phrase I've used in many articles, total golf performance. I'm not the mental guy, so, you know, if I did something like that, I would definitely probably link up or hook up with a real good mental guy. But I would do golf instruction, and I would deal with all the physical limitations that my students have and prescribe solutions for those physical limitations. So that's sort of how I got caught up in it.
Okay. You know, listen, we can all relate to the obsession with golf. Once you get hooked, forget it.
Oh, my God.
You know,
crazy.
Work becomes an excuse to pay for golf.
That's right. That's right. You have to actually go out to, and make more money to buy that new driver or to take that extra golf lesson or to play that extra round of golf during the week.
Yeah, it's just to play. Forget about all the equipment that you need. Just to play.
That's right.
You,
that's
people,
right.
Fred, what do you want for your birthday? Rounds of golf.
Yeah.
I don't want a book. I don't want a cute little head cover. Just buy me a gift certificate for a round of golf. If everyone buys me that. Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you gave me an opportunity to go through your website earlier when we spoke and even download one of the exercise programs. I have lower back issues. I have chronic lower back issues. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten worse over the years that I've been playing golf. And I have take a class twice a week called Ab Lab. I'm an Ab Lab rat. And that helps. And I do some morning stretching and stuff. But I still have, every morning when I wake up, I still am in pain. After a round of golf, I'm walking crooked. I still have problems. But I have to tell you, testimonial here. Since I've been using your 15-minute, which takes me 25, 15-minute morning workout for lower back, I'm feeling so much better.
Oh, that's
great. I went out and bought a medicine ball. Okay, so I put $12 into this. I bought a 9-pound ball. But I'm telling you, I'm feeling so much stronger. My stomach is tighter and flatter. And I've only been doing it for a week and a half, buddy.
That's, well, things can happen quickly if you do it consistently.
And it's making a difference in my life, in the way I feel. And I'm telling you, it's definitely making a difference in after a round of golf. I'm not hurting as much as I was. So your system is right on the money if you pay attention to it, right?
That's right.
Is that the key to it? Is just staying with it? For an obsessive compulsive person like yourself, easy squeezy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, and you know, I really have to kind of get out of my own head and my own skin and think of that, you know, the average person out there, you know, family commitments and work commitments and then even the golf commitments. So you throw all that in the mix and that makes time, you know, real, real tight and it's real easy to, and I don't want to get on the phone today and, you know, be real hardcore about this, but it's a situation where you make your choices to spend your time. And, you know, I know a lot of people are busy and I sympathize with that, but when somebody tells me, you know, I just don't have the time. And you just mentioned that you did my 50, and I'll be real specific here. It's called my 15-minute core routine is what you're referring to.
Yes, it is.
But when you do, there's no excuse. I mean, when I talk to people, and especially like a client who just hired me for private training, let's say, and we get talking, I say, well, you know, can you give me some reasons why, you know, maybe haven't done it or you're in that? Well, you know, I just don't have the time. And so I, this is kind of comical now. I've done it for, what, 24 years of certified personal training now. But I say, okay, let's go through a day. Let's just go through a typical day for you. And then, you know, hypothetically, here's what I'll hear, you know, well, you know, work's at 8, so you know, I get up at 7 or 6:45, and I let them go through the whole thing. You know, I get up at 6:45 and, you know, get ready for work and go to work and then, you know, come back from work and, you know, and then, of course, I got my family, my kids, and then the day is gone. And we found, you know, realistically, without waking up at 3:30 in the morning like I do, unfortunately. Yeah, it's well, again, obsessive compulsive, Fred. You're talking to a crazy guy here, but that's again my choice, right? We all have our choices.
When do you go to bed?
I go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock. You know, not real, real late, but you know, because I run 5 internet businesses, you know, all specific to you know, golf, fitness, and training. You know, I've got some odd hours, so when I wake up that early, I get my 60-minute cardio done. Religiously, so it's out of my life, done. 3:30 to 4:30, my cardio's done. And so that, there's no excuse, you know, because like anybody else, it's very easy that if you know, your day starts and it keeps going, pretty soon the excuses creep in your mind and you say, you know what, God, I'm just kind of tired. You know what, I'm actually kind of hungry. You know, and then the excuses come in. Well, I heard that, you know, if you're hungry, that means you're low on fuel, then you shouldn't work out. Okay, well, I better not work out today. On and on and on and on, you know, and it just, you play these little mental games with yourself, you know. So, but it's really kind of funny to expose people to, you know, finding, you know, several hours, not 15 or 20 minutes. You know, when you first talk to these people, they'll tell you, you know, realistically, well, I have no time. I mean, they'll say the word, quote unquote, no time. And then when you go through their day and you just kind of expose these little moments, and then, you know, I did ask, you know, I do ask some people, can you wake up a little earlier? But a lot of times, you don't even have to do that. You know, lunchtime, you know, right when you get off work, how about just, you know, 30 minutes right after work, you know, whether it's at your, you know, at your facility, or you get home and you tell your wife and your kids, okay, this is 30 minutes for me real quick here. And you just put it in your schedule like you do an appointment and do it.
Okay. You're scaring me, man.
Oh. Well, hey, this, I eat, sleep, live, and breathe this stuff, right?
So yeah.
Well, I'm a little bit more on the extreme, but you know, it's, I definitely try to just want to get people exposed to it, because use it or lose it. If you don't use your body physically on a consistent basis, that's that rapid decline in your physical components, whether it's strength, flexibility, energy, endurance. And so, you know, people hit, you know, even as early as their 35 and 40 year old age brackets, they start feeling, you know, God, I'm not, you know, I'm losing it here, where they look back on the, you know, the 20s, maybe in the early 30s, and say, God, I could go forever. Well, if they stop for a second and evaluated their current, you know, daily activities and their current lifestyle, they might find out that, well, I'm at a computer for 8 hours, you know, I'm drinking a beer at lunch with, you know, with my buddy, I'm doing this, I'm eating pizza, I'm doing this and this. Well, no wonder I'm at where I'm at. So.
Just curious, how long does it take you to play a round of golf?
Well, you know...
And how much caffeine do you consume?
Well, I do drink coffee. And so that's a good thing for the listeners to hear, is that, you know, I don't believe in, this phone call is really painting a picture of me here. And I think the picture might be getting, slighted just a little bit here. But, I am a normal guy. I drink coffee in the morning and a half for, I don't want to tell you how, when I started drinking coffee, at what age. I was, a hyper kid, let's put it that way. But, right. As if you couldn't tell, right?
I've raised one. Go ahead.
There you go. But so I just, it's just one of those situations that you have to evaluate your life and where you're at. And again, that phrase, if you want to keep getting what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing.
So how long does it take you to play a round of golf?
Well, speed golf interests me,
okay.
but I don't think I could ever do that.
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break because I need to take a nap, and and when we come back, I'm going to ask you why golf hurts so much, and I need some drills.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's Golf Smarter, one word, at TEETOUR.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
All right, we're back with Mike Peterson, who is in charge of PerformBetterGolf.com, among other websites, as he said. And he also is a fitness trainer, but specifically for golf. And I really want to know, why does it hurt to play golf? I mean, it shouldn't, right?
Well,
does my back hurt? Why do so many people get back pain from golf?
Take a person who's, maybe average fitness or for the average golfer, definitely below average fitness, because, most people, like we talked about with lifestyles and commitments, aren't really taking care of their body. So take a person like that. Now put a 1 pound, 3.5 pound, 3.5 foot implement in their hand and tell them to bend over and swing it at 85 miles an hour. And then do that, let's say they're doing it, maybe hit a couple of balls before, they're playing a couple of practice swings before every shot. So they're swinging, maybe 200 times at, say, let's say even 70 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, 200 times in golf posture, which has been at the hips, knees, flex. Don't you think there would be a little bit of a physical damage happening to the body there?
You would think so, but then you see people playing who are in their 70s and 80s and seem to be doing okay.
Well, those are the guys, Fred, that are swimming, that are keeping their body fluid and loose and blood flow going through all the muscles and going through the extremities and the legs and the hands and the feet. I got a great story. I'll make it real short, but I played with a guy here in Scottsdale, about 3 or 4 months ago, and he was, I think, 75, looked about 55. Mm. So obviously he's probably lived a pretty good life, and he was retired and all that, but he just had a skip to his beat. I mean, this guy, he played from the Blue Tees with me, which I think the course I played was probably about 6,700 yards. So again, not a monster course, but, 6,700 to 6,700, that's a decent course.
Sure.
Full swing all the way through the round, and I said, geez, what is your story? And the guy was just happy-go-lucky guy. He says, Mike, and he was kind of like Jack O'Lane, he reminded me of. He just says, Mike, I do swim aerobics 3 times a week. I stretch every morning after a shower. He goes, I don't do a lot of weightlifting. He goes, and you mentioned you do that, so I'd like to talk to you about it, which he ended up buying, I think, a DVD of mine.
Yes.
Later that night, I saw his name come through after buying a DVD or something. But he didn't do the strength part of it, but he just kept himself moving and active, and I think he shot an 81 from the Blue Tee, 75 years old, shot an 81 that day, just smiling the whole way, and it was interesting because I thought, let me watch him through the whole round of golf. Let me see if he starts falling apart, because that's what typically would happen with an older golfer, with a lot of us. But
what did you notice?
Oh, my God. His driver swing on 18 was identical to number one.
Wow.
I mean, and again, the guy had energy flowing out of his ears. So, you know, again, that's not a common scenario. That's not a common person. There's a guy that really his personal health is very important to him. But that's why you mentioned, you know, why do some guys in their 70s play great and they don't hurt? Well, again, if you make a conscious effort to just do a little bit with your body, you know, just it doesn't, you know, you don't know, you don't have to be, you know, I've written articles on this. You don't have to be a gym rat. You don't have to even belong. My products all are designed to do in the home with minimal equipment, and I did that on purpose to remove the excuse of, well, you know, I don't want to go to a gym, or I don't have a gym in my area, or it's just not convenient for me. I don't want to spend the money. I don't spend $50 a month on a gym membership. When I put together my very first Ultimate Golf Fitness DVD, my novice one, I made a point from that starting point on for all my products to never use machines from a gym, ever. Because I wanted people to realize with those beach balls, which are called, the formal word's called stability ball, which every golfer, we'll talk about this too, hopefully, before the conversation is done, about just some basic equipment everybody can get. Okay. But with just a stability ball, with some exercise tubing, with handles, all that stuff you can buy rated. You could buy it at a local Target for less than $30. You've got your golf fitness gym in your home, and the square footage you need, what, 60 square feet to be able to, you know, you need about a 4-foot area around your body, and there's your in-home golf fitness gym right there.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go right to it. Tell me, what basic equipment do I need?
Okay, well, I just told you some, but let's go through it. Let's do a little checklist here. Checklist number one, fitness ball, Swiss ball, or stability ball. Those are all different names for the same piece of equipment. It's like the big blow-up beach ball you see, and you see them, and you'll see pictures of them in magazines, but these can be purchased at Target stores, at definitely, without a doubt, all the fitness equipment stores if you're in a bigger city. They're sold everywhere. I mean, the only place they're not sold now is a grocery store, and I'll bet you
they have them there, too. Well, but these are the ones with different colors and different sizes, right? How would you know what size to choose?
Well, I can tell you right now, they're sized by centimeter. For golfers who are 5'6" and under, get the 55-centimeter ball. For 5'6" and above, get the 65-centimeter ball. And unfortunately, there's one that's 75-centimeter. It's gargantuan. It's really big. It's cumbersome. It's hard to use because it's so big. So really, the two
sizes. But it's a great chair.
What's that?
It's a great chair.
Oh boy, I tell you, you know, a lot of companies now, with people with bad backs, will substitute their chairs for stability balls.
So I've done that.
You know, I do mine off and on because I'm such a spaz. You know, I'm rolling all over that thing, and I end up playing on the thing more than I end up working.
That's okay. But I do that. I now have a
good
chair that mimics the ball.
Boy, that's awesome. You know, more people
helps.
Did that. You would see a significant reduction in back pain for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got stability ball, critical.
Okay.
That's like $30 right there. So there's one purchase. Second thing, without a doubt, exercise tubing, but they have to have handles. When you get the handles, just think of, I mean, your imagination is your limit. And I'm actually coming out with a tubing only golf DVD that we're shooting the footage for next week. Actually,
this is pliable rubber tubing, right?
It's pliable. What's that?
It's like a big rubber band. It's not PVC piping. We're talking.
No. You just read my mind. I tell people it's like buying a big rubber band with a handle on each end. These things can range from, you know, $10 per tubing with handles up to $30. Unfortunately. It's that old adage, you get what you pay for. You know, if you see them in some of these stores that are like, you know, $10, $12, they're going to be sized incorrectly. They're not going to be near as good. You know, I don't want to scare people and say they'll break, but they're just not that good. I mean, I would strongly recommend if you're going to get the tubing, you know, because tubing you're pulling on. So now you've got a little bit of a risk involved here, folks. I mean, if the tubing breaks and hits you in the eye, there goes your eye. I don't want to scare anybody, but the tubing, you should be a little more really conscious of quality, and that's where I would probably go to a local fitness equipment store or get on the web and type in exercise tubing with handles, and you'll come up with a gazillion websites, and just price it out. You know, the price for a good tubing with handles would be probably around $20 to $25. And that price range, you know, some people might balk at it and say, "No, I'm gonna get the $10 ones." Well, that's everybody's choice, but at $20, you know, you're getting really quality, comfortable handles to grip. Number one, and tubing that's going to be real pliable and that's going to last.
Okay, but tubing comes in various sizes as well, correct?
Various tensions, sizes that you could. It's various tensions, and most websites, including mine, will tell you, for the beginning exerciser, you know, you want this tubing. For the average exerciser, average strength, you want this one. So you just, you know, you want to put a fitness level on yourself and be very modest, folks. Don't live in the past and say, "Hey, you know, I'm a fit person, so I'm going to get the advanced tubing because I'm a fit person." That's the wrong way to do it. You want to err on the easier side, because, you know, the light tubing, you can do more with. You can make golf swings with it. The heavier the tubing, pretty soon, you know, if you get the tubing that's too heavy, you can't make a golf swing with it because you can't even pull it down. You know, say you attach it on the door, like how my tubing is. I've got this door attachment. If you had heavy tubing, you can't even budget, so now you're stuck with tubing you can't even use.
Okay. All right. So, now, what's the next piece of gear?
Well, you've got tubing, you've got the stability ball, and then hand, you know, I call it hand weights because a lot of people, you know, especially the people in their 60s and 70s, might not know the terminology of you know, modern day equipment, but most people know what a hand weight or a pair of hand weights is, but the other name is dumbbells, and it's free weights. And, you know, the dumbbells I use a lot in all my programs because they are just what they are, free weights. They require, you know, control like the golf swing, stability like the golf swing. They involve many, many muscles like the golf swing, as opposed to going into a gym. I tell a lot of people, they say, "Well, I go to a gym and I do my golf workout in the gym." And I say, "Okay, that's great. What do you do?" And they say, "Well, I get on this machine." And the minute I hear the word machine, I say, "Okay, that's great. You're doing something. You're not helping your golf swing." And they say, "What?" I say, "Well, number one, you say you sit in a machine, right?" And they say, "Yeah." I say, "Well, do you sit in the golf swing?" "No." I say, "Well, okay, so when you sit in the machine, what are you doing?" "Well, you know, I lift my legs up, I do that one, you know, I push the handles out away from me, I work my triceps." I say, "Okay, so just picture your golf swing and tell me." So now we've isolated that, you know, a lot of these machines you're sitting in golf you're standing. Secondly, the machine works a muscle, right? You get on the machine and it works, you look at the label on the machine, it says, "Well, this one works my triceps." And they say, "Yeah." I say, "Okay, well, so does the golf swing work just one muscle? I mean, so is the whole golf swing just a muscle?" They say, "Well, no." I say, "Okay, so can you see where I'm going here? If you get on a machine, it's great for general fitness. I would never want to downplay that. That's fantastic and good for you. But if you want to get a golf-specific program, you would never get on a machine because most machines you sit in and most machines isolate only one muscle group. And in the golf swing, it's a sequential movement from the address to the top of the backswing all the way to the follow-through. It's a sequential movement utilizing all the major muscles in your body."
Mm.
Big difference.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously these dumbbells, the free weights, they have a lot of different sizes and weights.
They're a little bit, and again, the big thing there would be, especially going in the store, you know, go in and pick them up. Pick them up and kind of move them around, and you know, even make a golf swing with one hand. You know, and again, I'm not saying that's a particular exercise, but just picture doing a movement for 12 or 15 repetitions with a certain weight. When I get an email like that, they say, "Well, what weight should I start at?" And I say, "Well, gosh, you're in Paris, sending me this email. I'm not with you. So what you want to do? It's a trial and error situation, and you always want to err on the light side of it. So
sure.
you would pick a really light weight. And you would do it for 12 or 15 repetitions. And if you can get through an entire set or two sets of 12 or 15 reps of any particular movement and you don't feel any fatigue at all, you just breeze right through it, then that would be an indicator that weight's a little light, that you could go up a little bit. But the only way you would ever know is trial and error.
Is there more?
Well,
you know, we're going through all this equipment, but we're not talking about what to do with them, and we're not going to have time to do that because I definitely want to get into some stretching tips for the round of golf.
Absolutely.
So
you bet.
Where are we going from this? Is there more equipment to purchase?
Well, there's one more fun piece, and then we'll drop the equipment. But if you can get the stability ball, tubing with handles,
and the hand
and a couple of pair of hand weights, you're set. Now, the only other thing would be what sounds like you purchased, the fun thing, which is the weighted medicine ball. And that's like the weighted medicine ball, was used hundreds, believe it or not, you can even get on the web and type this in, but it was used hundreds of years ago for training, actual training, and it sort of went by the wayside, and then in the early 1900s it was brought back, went out of fashion, and now it's strongly in fashion again. All the strength conditioning coaches and high schools and colleges and pro sports, everybody's using the weighted medicine ball, just to let people know, it looks like a basketball. Mm-hmm. But it's weighted, and again, there's many, many different weights, and it would be a trial and error of going in there into one of those stores, picking up and making a golf swing with it, and moving it, twisting with it, to see what weight you'd want to pick. But they go as light as 2 pounds, and they go as heavy as 20 pounds, which is a beast. That's a real heavy one. But the beauty of a medicine ball is you can do dynamic strength movements very similar to your golf swing with it, and you can do a ton of core strength exercises with a weighted medicine ball. So it's round, you grab it, and you just start twisting and turning and moving. And so it brings a lot of fun to your program. It really is. It's a pretty cool piece to add to it. But
And if I may provide one tip for people who do have the medicine ball, if you live in an apartment, or if your bedroom or the room you're exercising is on an upper level of your house, don't drop the ball.
Oh boy, I could tell you, it sounds like an earthquake, doesn't it?
Yeah, and being in California, I know what they feel like. So.
Oh yeah, it sounds like an earthquake. It scares the crap out of anybody below you, even people above you at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back out to the golf course now, and give us some stretching drills, some tips on what we need to do to get loose for a round, and then during the round, what we need to do.
Yeah, okay. When you think of pre-round or pre-practice, for that matter, going to the range, you would never think of an athlete. Does an athlete run out to the football field and start playing?
No.
Do you see the pro basketball players? Do they get out there 5 minutes before and then tip off and they're going?
I love looking at boxers who walk into the ring to start a match and they're completely covered in sweat.
They're in their locker rooms, their separate locker rooms with their trainers, punching, swinging, and Fred, that's a great analogy. Is that somebody might look at a boxer and watch him come out and get in the ring and go. But if anybody knows boxing, they know they spent probably 45 minutes doing shadow punches and boxing and hitting their trainer's hands and really warming up. And like you said, they're sweating when they walk in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of golf, you need to do movement-oriented stretches, which we call in the fitness industry dynamic stretches, to prepare your body for dynamic movements like the golf swing. So, you know, I've written many articles. If you even type that in Google, you'll probably come across some of my articles. If you type in warm-up for golf, golf warm-up exercises. But what you want to do is you want to think, what movements can I do that would mimic my golf swing,
mm-hmm.
get my body moving, get the blood flowing before I even touch a club or swing a club or hit a ball?
Okay, I'm standing. Let's go. Come on.
Okay. So you know, one I do is a squat. You know, picture a squat like sitting in a chair, but on a golf course, if you're on the range, you just squat down and up. And you know, I hate to make it sound like it's calisthenics, but in a way, it really is. It's trying to warm your body temperature up enough to where when you actually start swinging a club, you feel good. It feels loose and good, as opposed to grabbing a club and being tight. So,
but what does the squat have to do with swinging a club?
Well, you're just getting
your body heat up.
Well, you're getting your body warmed up, but what happens with your legs when you get in your golf posture? What do you do in your knees when you get in your golf posture?
Break them a little bit.
You squat. You bend the knees.
Okay.
The knees bend. Your knees don't shift forward. You kind of almost sit a little bit, and then from the sit, you bend over at the hips in your golf posture. So in a way, the golf swing to get in your address position involves a partial squat.
Good.
So the squat is very applicable for the golf swing. And what I do with a squat is I'll take my arms or I'll grab a club, and as I squat down, I raise my arms above my head, so it's like this little timed movement as I'm squatting down, my arms are going above my head. So guess what? I just did a total body warm up.
Wow, that's good. I'm doing that now. Okay.
I mean, so if you do, there's one exercise that you could do if you're in a hurry and you say, okay, God, I heard this guy on this podcast, God, this crazy fitness guru dude, who said, you know, do some dynamic warm. That if you just did that and you did say 20 of them.
Okay.
And the pace is medium pace. It's not going ballistic and throwing out a rotator cuff. It's probably starting a little slower, to be honest with you, and then slowly picking up the speed. But the speed, even at the end, is probably 50% of how fast you could really go. So it's really controlled, very much like your golf swing.
Mm-hmm.
But a squat with an arm raise is very good.
Good.
Another one is like a side lunge. And what the reason why I say a side lunge is the hip joint, for a lot of golfers, is locked up, especially for the older golfers. So I see a lot of poor hip rotational range of motion in the older golfer. And hip rotation links to your core, and if your hips don't rotate, your core doesn't rotate, and you've got all you have left is slapping at the golf ball, and you hit it 150 yards.
All right. So what does a side lunge mean?
A side lunge means you stand still,
mm-hmm.
and then you take one leg and you step to the side and you squat down on the leg that you're stepping on.
Mm-hmm.
And then what that does is the leg that isn't stepping gets elongated and gets stretched out through that inner groin, inner thigh area, and you come back to standing position. You do about five of those.
So wait, when you start, are you your feet at shoulders distance or wider than that?
No. Well, the width of the feet when you stand doesn't really matter in a side lunge, but let's just, you know, for the sake of saying it, say they're together.
Okay.
Your feet are together, and then you step out to the side,
mm-hmm.
and the foot that's stepping out to the side bends and kind of goes into a partial squat.
Okay. I'm getting specific here because I'm doing this. Does your foot? Okay. I'm lunging off to my left here.
Okay.
Do my toes point in the direction where I'm lunging, or do they stay in front of me?
You definitely don't want to. You don't want to do any kind of rotation that adds tension to a joint. So for all you people out there listening, anytime you do a movement, I don't care if it's a fitness exercise. You know, you've got this guy that says he's a golf fitness guru in your area, and you're doing something, and you feel pain in a joint. Guess what? Stop immediately. That tells you you're doing something beyond the natural kinesthetics of your body. So you're taking a joint and you're manipulating it. So no, your feet should be, they go where they go.
Okay.
When you step out to the side, your foot will be pointed outwards just slightly because that's very natural. But you don't manipulate it. You don't twist it one way or twist it another way. You just step out, bend the foot, bend the knee down, and you bend it only, say, 6 inches. It's not like a real deep squat you're going into.
Mm-hmm.
You're just bending down, and the bending down of the stepping leg creates that big stretch in the non-stepping leg that stays real straight.
Okay. And where are your hands when you're doing this one?
Oh, you can put them on your hips.
Okay.
You know,
so
can
it's
just
not
them
like
hang at your sides.
You're not stretching those out or anything like that.
You're not doing anything with your hands.
Okay.
This is just kind of an inner thigh, kind of groin dynamic stretch.
Awesome. All right.
And you do five each side. And then the last one, because I don't want to get people thinking too many stretch. The last one is one of my favorites, and I call it toe touches with a golf club. Well, in the golf swing, the lower back is a big issue for everybody.
Hello.
So you need to dynamically warm up the lower back so that you don't have that pain from the first hole on. So what I do is I'll grab a club that and just hangs in my fingertips horizontally in front of me, in front of my thighs, and then I slowly bend at the waist with maybe a slight little bent flex in the knees. I don't want to lock my legs. I don't want to feel pressure in my knee joint. So I'll have a little tiny bend in the knee, not much. Once I get that bend in the knee, I don't bend my legs anymore. I want to get all the movement hinging at my hip to stretch out my hamstrings, my glutes, and my lower back. So the movement, once you get that, it's picture almost like getting in your golf posture. You get that little flex in the knee and hold it. That's it. There's no more movement in the knee. From there, the hands with the club slide down your shins. And for people that are very tight in their lower back and hamstrings, you know, maybe you go just past your knees. You know, I don't want to tell anybody, do a toe touch.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, my God, I can't touch my toes. No, but I guarantee if you do that stretch consistently, you will be going lower and lower and lower as time goes on, and your back will feel so good. But if going just beyond your kneecaps is how far you can go, that's it. Slowly come back up, go back down, up, down. So, again, dynamic meaning continuous movement. You don't stop. So you stretch down, and then you'll find out as the blood starts pumping through your hamstrings, glutes, and lower back, you'll be able to take each one a little lower, a little lower, a little lower. But again, stay within a range that you're comfortable with. Don't take it to the point of your lower back starts, you know, you start getting a pinch in your lower back, the back, your knee joint starts hurting because you're going too far. Stay within your physical limit in that moment. And as you do it, and as you do it consistently day after day, then your limit's going to get stretched, which is good. It'll get further and further down your leg.
Great. Okay, so before you mentioned you had five websites.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to tell us what they are?
Oh. You know,
are the ones that are relevant to us?
Yeah, well, they're all relevant, but some of them, the domain names are crazy. But the one that you got on is a site that I just changed today, actually, and now it houses all of my products. But for 6 years, it was the number one golf training membership site in the world. That URL is www.golf-trainer.com. TRAINER.com. So it's www.golf-trainer.com. You already mentioned my www.performbettergolf.com. Another one is my ebook, which is it's the biggest golf fitness ebook in the world, to my knowledge, 247 pages, but it's downloadable. So get your printer cartridge filled up to the hilt if you buy this ebook. But that is at www.ultimategolffitnessguide.com. So that's a long one. UltimateGolfFitnessGuide.com. And then another one, I don't want to keep going, but another one is a women's only membership site, which is the only golf performance exclusive women's site in the world at this point, called FitGolfForWomen.com. And that would be FitGolfForWomen.com. So for the women, this is exclusively for the women. So all the online video demonstrations, that's all catered to the female golfer.
Awesome.
So that's enough of them, but I'm going to be launching 60 new websites in the next month. Can you believe that?
60 wow.
of them.
And yeah. I'm sure you'll have links to all of them on your other websites.
Yes, absolutely.
Mike, this has been really informative and very helpful. And again, thank you for helping strengthening my back.
You're very welcome. I had a great time, Fred.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Wow. That guy has got a lot of energy, a vast contrast to some of the other people that we've had on this show. But that was very good stuff. And, you know, if you go to Google and put in golf warm-up exercises, and warm-up being two words, you're going to get some printable exercises that he provides. You'll find Mike Peterson's stuff on there that you can print out and take it with you when you go out to the course. And it really does make a difference, especially some stuff that you can do during your round that once you start getting tight in your back, it helps you loosen up a bit. So definitely check that stuff out. That was really entertaining. I'm exhausted from it. Remember, we still have a great prize to give away that is provided by the Shivas Iron Society, which can be found at shivas.org, shivas.org. It's a beautiful limited edition leather-bound signed copy of Golf in the Kingdom, one of golf's classic books. The book is stamped and gilded in 24 karat and has satin marker ribbon and comes in its own handmade slipcase and individual gift box. We're doing our random drawing of names from your email entries, and the winner will be announced on Tuesday, September 5th. To enter, just send an email with the subject Kingdom to golfsmarter@ttour.com, TEETOUR, and please include your name and mailing address. Check out bunkershot.com, the online golf magazine, for news, articles, and more. And don't forget to pick up your own set of Golf Smarter postage stamps, and thanks for those who've already been ordering them. They come in sheets of 20 and can be picked up at Zazzle. That's zazzle.com/Fred Green. And my name has an E at the end of green. Let everyone know that you're a golfer, and even better, let them know that you golf smarter. We end with our quote of the week, submitted by another listener. And if you have a favorite golf quote, send an email with the subject golf quote to golfsmarter@ttour.com, and we'll include it and give you credit. Now, this week's email was sent by Dominic Boyle, who's originally from Ireland, but now is living and working in Tokyo, Japan. His favorite golf quote is in Japanese. Now, he provided me with a pronunciation guide for this, so I really apologize if I completely mangle it, but it is I'm going to do this right. Kakao right. Is that right? Kakar Orai. Kakar Orai. Kakar Orai. All right. Now, he says a short K sound, shorter on the carbs. He gives me this whole long explanation. Kakar Orai. All right. Now, this expression is used when someone has hit the shot, which looked ugly, but due to the lucky intervention by the golf gods, ended up on the green or near the hole or in the fairway. Now, everyone who's ever held a club knows this experience quite well. So let's try it again and repeat after me. Kakar Orai. Roughly translated, it means shitty shot, great result. Thanks for listening to Golf Smarter. I'm Fred Green.